We'll now sing hymn 273. Hymn 273. Dreary and dark our way throughout the evil day, wrongs we deplore, but whom thou lovest well, thy chosen Israel, glad in thy light shall dwell, light evermore. Hymn 273. My dear brothers and sisters, a couple of days ago, on Thursday, we read that wonderful 11th chapter of Paul's letter to the Hebrews. And this is surely a chapter that links all true followers together in one unbroken chain to Christ and to the kingdom and the promises that encompass all of those things. The confidence that we can have through faith may vary in strength with the circumstances in which our probations lead, but surely it is vital that it should always be there to help us through our most difficult hours. And so, as we assemble here once more around the emblems on the table, they show to us the love of God and the love and the obedience of Jesus his only begotten Son. We, through faith, can take to ourselves that promise of Jesus and all that it implies. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And so Jesus is here this morning. We can't see him, but he's here. If we have that faith and that confidence that is spoken of us by Paul, the fact that we cannot see him should make no difference whatsoever. And so, as we sit here in peace and quiet this morning, away from the things of the world, we will have varying needs as a result of our varying circumstances. We may seek comfort in distress. We may seek reassurance of our faith in the glorious hope. We may need strength to overcome weaknesses, whether they be spiritual or physical. We may need strength to overcome sickness. But whatever our need to strengthen our faith, remember the words of Jesus, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do it." And so, however great or small they are, however private they may be, we know that the Lord Jesus is here with us. He is on our side. He knows all of our needs. He knows our desires. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. And we have that generous promise of his: all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Of course, in asking, we must be sure that our motives are honourable and are made from a heart which is desirous to please and to serve God. Our prayers should not all be requests, of course, for we have a duty, and it should be more than this. It should be our fervent desire to give praise and thanks and thanksgiving to our God, our Heavenly Father, in order that we may express our love, our gratitude, our appreciation for all his goodness, which we enjoy in so many ways, even though it may seem hard. Importantly, though, through faith, we have that confidence that he would not ask us to pray and to pray without ceasing unless he was prepared to listen to our prayers, and that his Son would never have promised to intercede in our prayers unless he welcomed our asking them in the first place. Now, we know that faith is defined as the substance of things hoped for, and in another version, it is amplified and recorded as such. Faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of things we cannot see. I'd like to reread that piece. Faith means putting our full confidence, not just some of it, all of it, our full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain, absolutely certain, of things we cannot see. A knowledge of the truth and the purpose of God is, or should be, a pillar of our faith. This wonderful knowledge, which we all have, enables us to recognize and appreciate all the successive steps and stages by which God's great purpose is gradually, little by little, being developed and worked out. Even though we may not know how or how we actually fit in. In particular, of course, the birth of Jesus, his sacrificial death, his resurrection, and his ascension, all of which were vitally necessary to confirm the covenants of promise in removing sin and its consequences and in opening up the way to eternal life. But we know that this unshakable confidence is not all that faith produces. It goes further than this. Such a faith produces definite results or works, which could be as great as those recorded in Hebrews 11, or they could be small. But however small they may appear to be, we should celebrate, for through such things sin is overwhelmed. For in doing such things will lead, God willing, to our being acceptable before God. If we are acceptable, we must make a definite break with the world and its ways and wait patiently for the coming of our Lord. And we know from the 11th chapter of Hebrews and elsewhere that this is exactly what Abraham did. Although he was rich in cattle, in silver and gold, he obediently left all of the comforts and the amenities of a settled city life and became a sojourner and a dweller in tents in the land, which he was told afterwards there would be an everlasting possession from him. But why did he do this? Well, because he believed God wholeheartedly. And that's the point for us, surely, to believe wholeheartedly in God. He had that strength of faith which was necessary to overcome the natural tendencies of human nature. Yes, but if I do this, then something may happen. Abraham's confidence in God was total. We may not be called to leave our homes and our existence as Abraham was, but from time to time, our lives take what may seem to us a strange and difficult course. The way is often difficult, but we weren't promised an easy ride. Perhaps we cannot see the end of the problems that we experience. Who can when you're in the midst of it? We may feel that we have more on our plate than our faith allows, but they continue. And but we know God will be with us and our faith will not be broken. We have been called out from the world by our Heavenly Father. Our lives are all controlled by Him. He guides our paths just as He did with Abraham's. And therefore, we should try to accept the course of our journey through our probation with the application of faith. And I know it's certainly easier to say than to do. Faith that everything works for good for those who put their trust in the Lord. Faith that He will not try any son or daughter beyond that which they can bear. Faith that He will undoubtedly reward all those that put their confidence and their trust in Him. So as we consider some of the faithful examples recorded in the chapter, we may feel that we could not possibly have sufficient faith to do some of the acts that they did. But surely that's not the point. But let's take one example. Abraham being commanded to offer up his only son in sacrifice. Would you, or would I, have sufficient faith to do such an act if God required it? To be honest, I'm not sure that I would. But thankfully, we do not seem to be put by God into such testing circumstances. But nevertheless, in less spectacular ways, we have to choose between God's wishes and our own human tendencies. But so that we are not disheartened by our own failings in this respect, we know from the pages of Scripture that these worthies of old were by no means perfect. But the mind or the desire to please God was ever present with them, and it was that which was accounted to them for faithful service. Even though they failed at times, on balance overall, they succeeded. And we pray, God willing, that will be our account as well. Where such knowledge of the truth is present, this attitude of mind and heart is well-pleasing to God. And that desire to please him shows itself in our works, for we know that faith alone without works is dead. Because we recognize our personal weaknesses and our failings, this does not mean that God will not show us his favor. On the contrary, the Apostle Paul says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, to the man or the woman with faith, these are very comforting words. Although we may have heard them many times before, we must not lose their significance. The Almighty God is faithful, he is just, and for Christ's sake, he will forgive our shortcomings, but only if we confess them before him. All past weaknesses and failures will not be remembered, but will be forgiven for Christ's sake, but only if our hearts and our minds are in the right place, if our faith is there. Now we, unlike those around us, are in a very privileged position of having before us the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the supreme example of faith and love and works, who is there to make intercession for us as the high priest. His offering of himself once for all as a sacrifice for sin was an offering well-pleasing to God, whereby you and I can be saved from eternal oblivion in the grave and given everlasting life. Through faith and with a properly attuned mind, each of us can present ourselves here this morning before God in the presence by Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, with hearts sprinkled from the consciousness of evil and with our bodies washed with pure water, a clean and holy people through baptism. We should not think of these emblems on the table as speaking only to us of divine transactions of a long time ago, but of course they point forward to the kingdom, the time when the Lord Jesus Christ himself will return to the earth to establish the kingdom, when he will turn our faith to sight, and when that faith will be rewarded with glory and honor and immortality along with those other brethren and sisters of Christ who have died in faith. And so in remembering our absent Lord at this time, The consideration of our faith in its full sense is able, if we allow it, to satisfy all our needs, all of our needs, whatever they may be, large or small, comfort, strength, and full assurance, provided that we, on our part, ask for it sincerely. Not only have we the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to encourage us, we also have the encouragement of the great cloud of witnesses described by Paul in the first verse of chapter 12, where he refers to the faithful brethren sisters who have fallen asleep. We are surrounded by these people who testified their faith and who obtained a good report by their faith, and who knew the truth, and they lived it, they really lived it, day by day. Now we realize that our probations cannot last much longer. The events about us indicate that Christ must be at the door. And when he comes, there will be no opportunity to ask for a few more days. There will be no opportunity to ask for one last Sunday morning to put things right. When the foolish ones went to buy oil for their lamps, we read, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, those who were not ready, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I knew you not. Could we imagine Christ saying that to us? But even if Christ does not return quite as soon as we expect, there is no knowing when our probations will be cut short. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And how suddenly this sometimes happens. And so the exhortation this morning is to put things right before it is too late, to confess our sins to God this morning through Jesus, our high priest, who is always there to make intercession for us. For each of us to examine our faith and our works against those examples that have been provided for our edification, for our comfort, and for our encouragement, including, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who had faith in God and who by that faith was able to suffer the trials of a life without the comforts that we enjoy today, who had a crown of thorns thrust upon his head and yet had faith in God, who was marched and spat upon and yet had faith in God, who was nailed through the hands and the feet and suspended on a cross and yet had complete faith in God, who hung and died on the cross, refusing vinegar and gall that would have relieved his sufferings for a moment, and yet he had complete faith in God to the end. Christ knew from early in his life, from his knowledge of the prophets, that he would suffer this terrible death. And how heavily that must have weighed on his mind. And yet his short life was full of good works, and he made no attempt to avoid the trials that came upon his way, or the death that was always before him. And why was this? He had faith in the Word of God, in the firm foundation of the covenants made to the fathers. He had faith confidence that his life of difficulties and distress was not to end in the grave. And he said, "Verily, I say unto you," sorry, brothers and sisters, "was not to end in the grave, but that he would be raised by his Father to life everlasting. And what is more, by doing so, he had faith that he was opening up the way for others, such as ourselves, who exhibit the faith and works in the lives, to share in the glories of everlasting life, and ultimately in the kingdom." Brothers and sisters, you and I have that immense privilege of knowing the Scriptures and of having been related through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the faithful one, who we're now remembering in the emblems before us, have access to life everlasting. We all, of course, have faith, inevitably in varying degrees, but we must help it to grow by examining our hearts, examining our minds, before we eat the bread and drink the wine. For we are reminded that he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. By taking advantage of this opportunity of putting our sins behind our backs, through partaking of these emblems acceptably, our faith will have been strengthened, and we can then go forth from this place strengthened, and we can go forth strengthened in the knowledge that our lives will work out, and God willing, we will enter that kingdom. Lives which will give our Heavenly Father pleasure, and lives which in his mercy will be rewarded with life everlasting. Let us therefore, brethren and sisters, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We will now sing hymn number 266. Hymn 266. Our Heavenly Father, who by grace hath called us to bear the name of thy beloved Son, shine forth thy blessings down upon thy children as we in prayer approach thy glorious throne. Hymn 266. So we are to conclude this morning with prayer through Brother Phil, after we have sung hymn 192. Lord of all power, I give you my will, in joyful obedience your tasks to fulfill. Your bondage is freedom, your service is song, and held in your keeping, my weakness is strong. Hymn 192.